and thank you for joining us today on Take Two Radio. I'm your host, Pam, and with me today is my lovely co-host, Dawn. We're very excited to welcome our very special guest today, who is a multi-award-winning actress from film and TV, but most notably from The Young and the Restless as Catherine Chancellor. Welcome, Miss Jean Cooper.
Well, God, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm just as excited to be there as you are to be talking to me. So we now
and
have
we are excited.
Admiration
oh, yes,
club going
definitely.
Here. All right, you also have Dawn with you, right?
Yeah,
who is a girl.
Dawn is here.
Dawn is a girl.
And Dawn.
Yes, that's right. Yes, we did establish that, didn't we? Thank you. Yes.
Listen, you know, I'll tell you something, Dawn. What was so funny about that? The guy who was 00, it was the comedy, Dawn Knotts. The guy, do you know how many people who had never seen the show, the TV show, Dawn Knotts was a girl. Now, I had never watched the show, and we had a group at that time who played poker once a week. And this friend of mine called me up and said, is it okay if Dawn Knotts joins us, for our girls' poker game? And I said, well, we've never allowed men in before. Why? they said, how do you know he was a man? I said, because somebody told me it was D-O-N, not D-A-W-N. And they said, we thought he was a girl. I said, take a good look at him. Do you think it looks like a girl? And they said, no, we were just taking it as a reference. They'd never watched the show. They didn't know it. There's a friend of theirs pointing a joke on them.
Oh,
so it was hysterical.
You
so, anyway.
Oh, that's a great story. Thank you for sharing
well,
that.
Well, the thing is, I always clarify and say it's Dawn with a W.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Or as we say in the South, Dawn. You know, we say
yeah.
that Southern
yeah.
call
with it.
So.
Oh, gosh. Oh, well, what's your part of the country doing this morning?
Pam is in Illinois, and I'm in North Carolina. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm sure my accent never gave it away, of course. But yeah, so it's
and we're
all
covering all
North
coast
Carolina.
Here.
We've got the weather down pat. It's raining and drizzly here.
yeah, it was here too, but now it's getting sunny, and believe it or not, it's going to be close to 70 degrees today, but then we'll fall off and go into 38. So
and have
it's,
snow.
It's
yeah.
Chicago. Yeah.
Oh gosh. Lovely time of the year.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's a great time of the year, isn't it?
It is.
It really is. So holiday time. It just reminds everybody to sort of, be a little bit closer to the people you love and have a little bit more family time rather than who cares kind of thing. One reason I do like the holidays, I really do.
I know.
Because it at least the family sort of thinks. Because the family today sort of doesn't think. They text instead.
That's right. That's right.
I'm serious.
Well,
yeah.
What is one of the your favorite things to do during the holiday season?
Oh, during the holiday season?
Mm-hmm.
During the holiday season, just sort of getting a different spirit about everything, basically. You know, I mean, the tree trimmings and all of that and seeing each other's trees and, those of us who celebrate that you know, there's other religions that don't.
Right, right.
But by the same token, it's what the country was sort of founded on, so we've gone along with it since I think we were Baptists in the beginning when I was a kid, something like that. Anyway, it's the spirit that I like to get going with everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm,
even
mm-hmm.
my gardener, who I could fire every Friday of the week. But however, and the holidays, I sort of say, you'll never learn, but I love you anyway. Keep on mowing.
So the holidays is their reprieve. That is so good.
But it's a lovely time to remember what's important, I think. The reminder of what it is about, what it started out to be. What it should be is the celebration of, you know, you start with Thanksgiving, which is almost this year they paid more attention to Thanksgiving than I have ever remembered in the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, Thanksgiving literally would come and go because Christmas was celebrated that stores were decorating 3 weeks before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Halloween had a bigger effect than Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
There's that old marvelous, there's a postcard that's out now. It's a picture of Santa Claus and a picture of a turkey, a very angry turkey. And the turkey saying to Santa Claus, "Wait your turn, dude."
So
it sort of explains it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does
give
perspective.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, we all live such fast-paced lives that we don't take the time on a daily basis to be thankful for what we have or, you know, just to remind ourselves that we should tell more people that we love them and that from day to day. And,
oh, boy.
And in a way, thankfully, we do have the holidays to remind us to slow down and spend time with the family and the people that matter in your life.
Yeah, and I think, although, you know, everybody says, you know, spend, get the economy going, get it up, and so on and so forth, I really and truly would wish from, I don't know, I wish it throughout the year, you know, that'll never happen. God knows
right.
You pray for it, but it'll never happen. But you'd sort of wish that it was less buying craze.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like our Christmas cards, thank God, are still, you know, in there in the race for surviving. But
mm-hmm.
it's more than people going into debt for the entire year, coming year, just so they can give Christmas presents to somebody and
right.
they suffer all year long. And that shouldn't be. I think
mm-hmm.
I say that in my book.
Yes, you do.
Because it's a form of slavery. You're putting yourself in the ranks to suffer for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I spread it out. You're going to suffer, just suffer a couple of times, not all year long.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm serious. You want to do something, then do it on the birthdays. How about that?
Yeah,
something,
exactly.
If you feel you have to do it, you know,
yeah.
or
yeah.
make something. What's your suggestion? What would you do if it wasn't this rush to go out and just buy? Children, yes, we understand the spirit of Santa Claus. We know that.
Right.
Well, for me, I wish it, sometimes Christmas could be like what you see out of a good nostalgic holiday movie, like It's a Wonderful Life, you know, where
everybody
has their traditional ways, you know, they're around the piano singing, you know, Christmas carols, and they're going Christmas caroling, and, you know, and life is not as fast-paced where you can actually slow down and take in the season for what it is.
And you know why? You really can.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
Think about it, can't
you,
girl?
Can.
Think about
yeah,
that.
Sure, you can. I mean, there's nothing stopping us, you know.
But just what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's just true. How society is now. But, you know, you can change it. If you really want to do that, you can change it.
Yes, you can.
Oh.
In fact, I'll tell you what I think is amazing. Last year, I know my son Corbin, who is also an actor.
Yeah, a very good one at that.
Thank you very much. I have
mm-hmm.
to agree with you 100%. I just think he's...
I knew you would.
What are you going to say? I think your son sucks. No, God love him. He's found himself, and he's as he said to me not too long ago. It was funny. He came up and just sat down, sprawled out, and said, "You know what, Mom? I'm comfortable in my own skin for the first time." And isn't that
oh,
great?
Wow.
I said, "Thank God you got it before you died." You know, most people
right.
at the last minute say, "I confess, I am." I said,
yeah.
"Now you can enjoy life.
Right.
You can
mm-hmm.
enjoy life. No great expectations."
Right.
Yeah. You know, and anyway, what in the hell was I going to say? Uh-huh. See what you did. You had to go and say Corbin was a good actor, and that got me right there. Oh, God. Oh, well, the senior moment,
well,
I guess I say. It'll come out sooner or later, maybe 5 days down the line.
We all have those moments, so it's not just you.
Listen, I got to tell you, my granddaughter, the other day, I knew she's 14, And she said, I just put it somewhere, and I did, it was 5 minutes ago. I said, welcome to the tribe, and you're only 14.
That is so true.
That's okay, listen. I tell you, this whole thing of, keep the child. I mean, do you realize people are applying for schools for a kid to go to before it's even born?
Yeah.
And once they're here, play dates. And that's okay. Nothing against this. But however, a child has to be kept so busy. The reason time goes by so rapidly is that children are not allowed to have a childhood anymore.
Mm-mm.
That's very true.
They crawl, they stand up, start walking, and mother has them at this when they're 3 years old, 2 years old. A computer, Fisher is the same. Good, here's a toy. They don't know how to work a computer by the time they're 18 months, whatever.
Yes, it's very true, because kindergarten these days is not like when I started school, where you learn how to tie your shoes and learn your colors and your ABCs. You have to know all of that before you get to kindergarten
pre-kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, your child's a dummy. It's unreal. It's totally, totally. I remember as a child, which was marvelous. I know my mother would say to my sister, or both of us, she said, would you please go outside and play? Well, what do we do? She says, I don't know. Find something to do. But get out from underneath my feet.
Mm-hmm.
You want to play? Go outside. Find something to do.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that is a simple, it's a command, but it's also a command for a child to use their own imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's not too much imagination today other than entrepreneurs.
Exactly.
You buy this. You buy it. It's want all the time. Be addicted to what I'm telling you to buy.
Right,
The whole ceremony of sleeping in tents and blankets and the whole thing and lines waiting for the newest little thing to come out that's going to be obsolete in 3 months after you buy it, but you've slept on the sidewalk with the store open, and then we have to have policemen to make sure that there's no outbreak and these people's delicious desire for something.
Right.
And you say to yourself, it isn't that one gets older. As one gets older, one becomes selective and really sees what's important in life, really.
Mm-hmm.
Important in life.
This is true.
And there's no learning period for the kids today. No learning period.
No.
And you just gave me a great idea for how I would change Christmas. For those who do decide to go sleep on the sidewalk for days ahead of a sale, to buy that item, to at least for a moment put themselves in the shoes of those who are homeless and sleep on sidewalks every night and take that item to them or go to a homeless shelter or go to a food kitchen and help out and give of yourself. I mean, if you're going to take something, you always have to give back. And but a lot of times that people aren't thinking about that. But, just to be able to have that identifier, to say, so this is really what it's like. I think it would make people really stop and think, a lot of times.
Yeah, but sweetheart, take a look at the way that why this is all happening is that you are being marketed and advertised into being discontent if you don't have what they tell you you're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've got a couple of grandkids who finally have put their cell phones in their back pockets and they don't go to it every time they feel a gas pain coming on of some kind,
Mm-hmm.
And I did something I've never done before, and it gave me great, I won't name the restaurant we were at, but we're at the restaurant, and this family was that we're having dinner, and of course, and they're talking about have you, and this two kids, they're on this. The waiter came over, and some of the food kept going back and back and back because the kids were never satisfied with whatever it was. It wasn't done enough, or it was too done, or this, and in the meantime, on their cell phones all the time. And I went over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. The other line. I went over. I took the cell phones out of their hands. And the people were just dumbfounded that I would do such a thing. I gave it to them, assuming it was the mothers and fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know about you people. The other line, please. The other line. Okay, there's so many lines and so many phones in this house.
It's okay.
I feel like the Edison Company. Anyway, I said, it may not disturb you, but it disturbs my dinner. And at these prices, I don't like to be disturbed. And these kids just looked at me. And the woman looked at me, but the husband said, I'm so glad somebody finally did that. It was amazing. I couldn't stand it because the kids never looked up to the waiter or waitress. They just looked at food. And I thought, you know, there's no conversation anymore.
Right.
And, I mean, I watched the rudeness go as long as I could. If it was one of my grandkids, I want to tell you, their heads would have been upside the wall. And they know that.
Yeah.
They know that. You know, that's one of the rules. Go out to dinner,
right.
You either leave those things at home or don't pick them up.
Right.
And nothing
that's
bad
right.
Memory.
Good rule.
Oh, yeah.
Very good rule. And I guarantee you they will always think about that every time. That from that point forward, I'm sure they've thought about that every time.
Every time. Every time they go out to dinner. It's
yeah. Probably every time in general, too, I would think. You know, just consciously aware. So.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's such a shame that you have to shock someone into knowing the right thing to do.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that is amazing. The art of conversation. The art of conversation is almost lost.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, pray God that nobody loses their thumbs. They wouldn't be able to talk to one another. They're constantly pounding out the keys on their cell. Think about it, you know?
Right.
So,
I know. My
right.
My children will text me from another room instead of getting up to come to me and talk to me. They'll text me from another room.
Well, how would you like this? cross any street in Beverly Hills, and you'll find two people texting one another, and they're walking through.
They're standing
together.
Side by side, yeah.
There, so, oh, yeah. Is that hysterical?
Yeah.
I've seen this with my own eyes.
I know.
I text and all of a sudden the next person next to them is laughing hysterically and texts back and the other person laughs hysterically.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, there was a time that you'd wrap those people up and send them to a place to get well.
Uh-huh.
But that's a great example. I'll tell you, here's the greatest example I know of. I was in Canada during an event. And I saw this rag doll. It was so perfect. It's so perfect. And I thought, oh, my God, that reminds me of my granddaughter, Sarah. And I got it, and I brought it home. And I took it over to her, and I gave it to her. And I said, here, Sarah, this is for you. And she said, oh, thank you, Grandma. You know, she's a tiny thing, really. She's quite a tiny, for God's sake. She's 6 years old, so... And she's lifting up the arms and lifting up the legs, and I said, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't pee-pee. It doesn't cry. It doesn't say mama. It does not talk. It doesn't do anything. She said, oh, it's dead.
Oh, my
I said, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's dead. I said, yeah, it's dead. So she called it her dead doll.
Oh,
and she shared it with all of her friends, and they call that doll the dead doll. It's a Raggedy Ann doll. They call it Dee Dee, for short. And Dee Dee is in on all of the games they play or what have you. The dead doll sits there and does nothing and watches.
She's the silent one.
Absolutely. She's the only smart one in the group.
Yeah, she's the one that's just taking notes, you know, just kind of
right.
Taking it all in, and, you know.
Wouldn't that be marvelous? Wouldn't it be marvelous if it finally did speak up and said, I'm taking notes?
That's right. I saw what you did yesterday kind of thing, you know. It's kind of like the elf on the shelf, you know, that little elf thing that you're seeing all over the place.
Oh, God, yeah.
Hilarious, you know, so... He has a life of his own, but yeah. No, better yet, if my children had said that to me, if one of my daughters had said that to me, that's what I would have said. Take it outside and find something to do. In other words, you know, make it come alive, you know?
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah. Find something. Go outside and revive it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Go outside and teach it something.
And when it comes, when you bring it back in, we want it, you know, it needs to be doing something besides
yeah,
being
right.
dead. Oh, gosh. You have done.
You go outside and you better stay long enough until that doll talks.
Exactly.
And you know you'd be looking for them after 8 hours, so.
Oh, hey, it's a no-win situation.
Right.
But anyway, they loved that doll. I mean, the girls treated it with far more respect than the rest of their toys because it didn't do anything. They had to defend it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you have a lot of wonderful stories, Jean, and, of course, we have to mention your book because Dawn and I both read it, Not Young, Still Restless.
Oh,
it's an amazing, insightful, interesting book. I mean, I could say so much about it. I just absolutely loved every minute of reading that book. And,
well,
and believe me, it flew by. It's definitely a page-turner.
Well,
in there,
I tried.
Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to say that in there you mentioned that you didn't think that you were going to be playing the role more than 3 years. You didn't even know how you were going to get through the 3 years when you signed your first contract for Y&R.
Exactly. Yeah.
What
but
keeps you playing Catherine after all this time?
What?
What keeps you playing Catherine after all this time?
Oh, I think I just created the other person, and it's like a twin, you know, to me at this time. It's also a base to keep in touch with just tons and tons of people that I was never, ever been able to, you know. I've seen thousands of people since I accepted doing that role. And I think I have a far better perspective than most politicians of people across this country.
Mm-hmm.
And it grounds me. It keeps me grounded. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It keeps me grounded with the people who live out there. Otherwise, were I not doing that part, you and I would not be laughing this morning. Or
you got
my
it.
Morning and your afternoon.
Yeah.
So the many, many perks that it's given me. And as I say in the book isn't just about Y&R. There's
right.
Even that's a storytelling kind of thing rather than, you know, go into behind the scenes. There's a little bit of that, but the book has to do with, you know, my beliefs, which you read, and what I think matters, and for me and my country. And I got to express myself and let a lot of stuff out, stuff that some people never suspected. And I was talking to Lindsay, who helped co-write, who is such a brilliant writer.
Yeah.
To take everything I had to say and put it together in the right way is a great talent, but it does express me and who I am and what I believe in and what has happened in my life that mandates that course take its course.
Mm-hmm.
And I think basically I just wanted people to take fear out of their lives. Things are going to happen, but you add fear to it and everything is 10 times greater, you know.
Right.
And
very,
that is to put people in afraid of to do, afraid of to hear, afraid of to go, a fear of doing this or a fear of standing up for themselves because it's induced by a different level than where the person is at. To me, that's a form of slavery. You know,
exactly.
And people don't perform their best under a fear,
absolutely,
you know, for themselves.
Not.
They really don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody gets a bill in the mail and they're going to threaten, they don't realize that 30,000 of those letters went out to other people saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It expresses, in the book, expresses that, you know, it's like, I guess you are all too young to know, there used to be a thing called the Sears and Roebuck catalog.
Oh, I
and
remember.
Hey,
we
man,
should.
You open that up and you go right straight to the kids' nurse's
mm-hmm.
costume, doctor costume, bicycles,
yes, right.
dolls, you know. And that was our wish book.
yes.
A wish book. Now, you knew you couldn't have everything in there that you would like your mom and dad to order.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, you say, I wish.
Yes.
I want. But the thing is, we were also taught, what do we need? What we want, what we wish, what we want isn't necessarily what we need.
Exactly.
And that wishing beyond what you need gets out of hand, and all of a sudden you're into fear, you're into slavery, mental slavery.
Yeah.
They all roll right into that. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Except somebody, you know, somebody pays off a big debt. It's like a mountain was relieved from their shoulders, but it took, you know, they had to get into debt. Now, certain things cause people to take certain actions. But if they knew everything that's available to them, they wouldn't go that fast into imprisonment of that overspend over whatever. The old thing, moderation, you know.
And, yes.
But however, you're
in everything.
Well, darlings, you're marketed right into poverty if you follow what you're told to do.
Yeah.
You know? It's just fine that they have a new thing out on your laptop or on your iPhone, whatever it may be. That's good. If you can afford it, fantastic. If you can't, then find a way that you can afford it. That doesn't mean kill somebody or rob a bank. But, you know, it's like taking time for yourself, and I've got news. I don't care who you are or what you do. You can arrange for at least an hour for yourself every day. If that's like saying, I told you to go outside and play and think of No, I'm not going to go to lunch with you. You have to. No is the greatest yes you can give.
Mm-hmm.
No is the greatest yes you can give to yourself ever.
Mm-hmm.
Being selective.
I agree with
that. But, you know, listen. You've been there. You still do it, so do I every once in a while. Then I could kick myself. I was supposed to go to something Saturday, and I said, no. I felt so good. Now, what I did do was sit before my fireplace and get a couple of things done when I could have been socializing and laughing at things that aren't funny, which I find as older I get, it's hard to do. When something ain't funny, it ain't funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to smile at times over a situation that you'd like to stick your toe to the bottom of somebody. And it's trying to really get the most out of your life, of you, because you're a miracle to begin with. You know, think about it. You know, look at the bugs that are crawling around on the ground. I'd rather be who I am than one of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can still step on us, though. That's what I'm saying, you know.
Right.
I'd still rather be me than one of the bugs. But they're called run for your life.
Yeah.
And people are stepping on us. But you see, we allow it. Those poor bugs don't have a chance.
Exactly.
<That's right.
laughs>
They would rather go outside and find someone to play with.
Oh, no. That's so very true.
It's true.
Now, the thing that I loved the most about your book was, as I was reading it, Jean, I felt like you were sitting in front of me telling your story.
Yeah,
and it's the personalization of the book was just incredible, and it was just so meaningful for me to just read it. You know, because it really did read like you were right there.
Everyone says.
Yeah, and as I was reading it, you know, I realized how candid you were in writing the book, and when you were done and you read it, did you ever feel the need to edit it and not share all of the personal stories of your life that you did?
No, I have no regrets whatsoever not re-editing it. I sat down, and that's what I was doing. I was talking to people who, you know, got the book and they were reading it. I was talking to them. So there's nothing I would edit out, nothing.
Well, we thank you for that, for being so candid. I mean, because not only with your life story of what you've been through, too, but you've helped a lot of people along the way. when you played an alcoholic on Y&R and then, you know,
became an alcoholic,
then you became one. You received a lot of letters from people, and they said they went to get help for that. So that's, you know, you helped a lot of people that way.
Yeah.
And you also took the time to tell them when they were going to have you fall off the wagon that it was a fictional story. You know, this is not you in real life. So you're letting them know.
and that's unbelievable. I have to tell you, that probably was the most committed to something, that when they were going to have Catherine fall off the wagon. I mean, a few thousand cards went out to people that I'd gotten.
Wow.
You hear my dogs?
Yes.
That person who's coming in the house, they've known for 10 years. You would think it's somebody intruding. It's amazing.
My dogs do the same thing.
What is it?
I don't know.
I have one big one and two little ones, and they look at me like, shut up, we're protecting whoever it is. Oh, it's them again. Oh, God, it's the gardener. Look at him. I'm not kidding. I have a pool man that says, would you please put the dogs up when I come in? I said, what? They want to help you, you know.
Yeah.
Give them something to do. They bark because they're dogs.
That's right.
It's totally amazing. The first time that ever happened, I'm not kidding, I'm hearing, help, help, Missy Cooper, help, help. And I hear this yelling. I go out, and my gardener's on top of this 6-foot fence with this pool thing in his hand. And one of the dogs is standing there barking at him. I said, she just wants you to pet her.
and
he petted the dog. And every time he'd come in, then he'd give Bishop a piece of rope or something to play with. And I swear to God, one of the funniest things I've ever seen is I thought that dog would know how to attack you if I paid him. Oh. Oh, my God, Gino Colombo just entered the room. He's my hairstylist, makeup man, and stylist, and a thousand other things. Yes, all-around guy. He's busy with he has a salon over on, the other side of Mulholland. Let's put it like that. And anyway, he's part of the family. The dogs bark at him, too.
Yeah.
Bet you they were just barking at because he was coming through.
They're just saying hello, welcome, we're glad to see you.
Oh, yeah, and he just walks in blithely and says, hello, 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 and there it, you know.
Well, I was just going to say, before we have to let you go, because we know that, your time is limited, and we're most appreciative of it, but we do have one person in the chat room. He was asking, who do you like to share things with the most on Y&R?
Share things with the most on Y&R?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. that's a big one. I guess maybe Doug Davidson. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Love him too.
Love Doug.
Yeah. Doug is, he's been on the show next to me. I've been there the longest, and he's been next to the longest. But Doug, I've watched him grow up and become such a responsible, committed guy. His kids are just so talented. And there's, I have one daughter in London at the music, it's a conservatory. She was accepted. She's a brilliant pianist. The young girl, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
did
guess.
Did you ever adopt him? Because you said in your book you were trying to adopt him for years.
Yeah, I just considered him mine now. Every time he goes away, he says, I thought it would be you. Cindy, his wife, is a treasure, too. Really is a treasure. Mm-hmm. And, and Jess, I share a lot of things with her, but she's so neurotic. She doesn't know what she's doing half the time. I love her to death. She's gone off to Oregon now and is living on 10 acres, and she's learning to ride a horse. And I thought, that's the scene I'll never forget. I said, you're riding a horse, uh-huh. Well, okay, you're going to that party. You know, she's at an age, and she said, I just have to find out who I am. I said, you won't like it when you find out, Jess. Don't do it.
Yeah.
You know what? That almost sounds like something Miss Chancellor would say to Jill in a heartbeat. You know,
exactly. Isn't that the truth?
It'd be a little bit more catty, but you know, it would definitely. Well, she would get her point across. And
listen, ladies. Listen, I taught Catherine everything she knows.
There you go. I love that. I call her everything I know. That's great.
A couple of times she's bounced back on me.
Yeah. I'd like to touch on one thing. One of the highlights of your career was working with your son Corbin on L.A. Law, and you were both nominated for an Emmy for that episode.
That was incredible, wasn't it?
That is truly incredible. Mother and son to both be nominated, let alone, you know, play together on the same show. I mean, that is just amazing.
Yeah.
If Corbin decided to write a movie about your book, would you want him to do that?
He could do anything he wants.
Yeah, anything he wants. Okay.
You know, I was totally truthful. Anybody want to make anything out of it, be my guest, you know.
Yeah.
But Corbin, I would have to say to him, don't get Hollywood and make up a lot of stuff to just pad it. Otherwise, trouble.
Right.
And knowing Corbin, he would threaten to do it.
The two of us
get along very, very well. My other son, Colin, came out with, in fact, Christmas Night is crazy, the stud buddy, the detector. It's a magnet detector of walls and things like that. One of the best. He's so busy with that, and he almost started to have a career, and he doesn't like acting, and not a lot of people who are in it, so, because everyone is always, you know, full of it. You know, somebody can be desperate for a job, and they go to a party, and what have you been doing? Like, well, I've got these things in mind. I'm waiting on this one film, and that, when they haven't got anything in mind. I think it's the pumped-up kind of ego that he doesn't like about certain people in the industry. So, in the meantime, my daughter runs Pacific Studios, which has to do with all of the backdrops and things that when you see the scenes, it'll open the window and you look outside and see a snowy meadow. It's probably one of her big backdrops because it's all over there in all of the filmmaking and what have you. They service that and make backdrops for certain shows. I know I was doing Touched by an Angel.
They're all creative, that's for sure.
Yeah. I was doing Touched by an Angel, and I was at the Della Reese thing some time ago up in Utah. And I'm looking out of my I lost all my marbles, so I'm, you know, swatting at flies that aren't there, things like that. And I walk to the window, and I look out, and I have to stay in character, but inside I'm saying to myself, God, this scene looks familiar. Huh, what do you know? Oh, well, I'll think about it. It wasn't until we were shooting one of our scenes in the winter scenes, and I'm at the Newman Ranch, and I'm talking to Nikki, and I walk to the window saying something, you look out, and there it is. It's the Newman's lower 358 acres.
Oh, my
no,
God.
When the
oh,
trees are open. And I just, my mind just flashed back to Della Street, and I almost wanted to laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, connecting the dots there.
Oh, is that hysterical?
Yeah.
YNR reaches new heights. It goes anywhere.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Who knew?
Well,
but I'll tell you.
She knows.
Hey, it's been a great experience, a great trip. It really has. Doing the show, the people I've met, the things that I've been able to share, the things I've been able to help repair, and you know, and other problems that make me find answers,
right?
And keep me curious about life. And I think at this stage, at 84. I still am curious about a lot of things. I still see where I've done some good or where I've done some bad. But there's always the curiosity of life, because every stage of your life there's something new that you can find out if you care to be curious enough.
Yes.
And not just what joint aches this morning, what neck isn't moving to the right or the left as much as you'd like. Or why is it I can't stand up quite as fast as I used to without wanting to faint. But and I think what is, when you know that you've really put in your time on this planet, it's when one of your kids, you come and say, I woke up this morning, I have this, I don't know, it's like a kink in my back. And you look and you say, oh, my God, have you got a lot in store for you?
That's so funny because my grandmother is about your age. I think she's actually a little bit older. She's around 90. And anytime I complain about something, she said, just wait till you're my age. And I said, oh, my gosh, if it gets worse than this, then shoot me before I get to be your age.
I want to tell you, once you hit 50, and the smart people do it, and I've tried to do it, and that sort of helps with longevity. Everything is you practice preventative. Always try and beat it rather than curative. And seek the best advice, and also start using your brain and your power to let your body sort of heal itself in many ways.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more with that.
It is a beautiful life out there. It's just a lot of people who screw it up.
That's right.
If it didn't go your way that day, it wasn't your fault. It was somebody else's.
Oh, no, exactly.
Well, Jean, we could listen to you talk all day long, but we know that you're limited on your time and you need to get to your makeup man and your hair man. And
my repair man. That's what we're going to call him.
Your pole man, your garden man. So many men, so little time.
Oh, boy, isn't that the truth.
There's the next book.
Listen, and don't waste any time.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
If you think yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
But we would love to have you back in the future to talk more. And anybody that has not picked up Jean's book yet, I highly, highly recommend it. Not Young, Still Restless, A Memoir is the most amazing book that I've ever read, and definitely a page-turner. And you'll learn so much more about Jean Cooper. You'll be astounded. Just buy it. Go to Amazon.com or any bookstore. You'll love it. And, Jean, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you.
For spending
the time with us. Maybe one day we'll meet in person. That would even be funnier. We'll have lunch.
That would be a dream come true. Yes, indeed.
That's on my bucket list. How's that?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, no, don't do that. Don't wait that long, for God's sake.
If you say so, that's
affirmed.
There we go.
Listen, I have a friend, Doug. Have a laugh a day. Do a good deed to someone. I don't care if it says, how are you, to a stranger. They may look at you like you're nuts, but in the meantime, you've done your bit.
Exactly.
And enjoy life. That's what it's here for. You have to work for it, but that doesn't hurt.
And pay it.
I learned to love you guys in just a few minutes. That's nice.
Well,
I like that.
Thank you.
I do. You're my kind.
You do.
Likewise. Very likewise.
Well, listen to you and your audience. Have your audience stay listening because they're listening to two very good people.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me have this time with you.
Thank you for being with us. And please enjoy your day, and we'll chat again soon. And I'll be watching you every day at 11:30.
God bless.
God bless you, too.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you and yours.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. I mean, I could actually cry right now because she's such a wonderful, wonderful person. I mean, she's not just the actress we watch daily on our screens, you know. She's so much more. I have no words.
You know, the one the one thing that comes to mind about her that immediately struck a chord within me is she's just warm. She's a warm human being.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, she possesses wisdom and immense character, integrity, I mean, all of that. But it's just,
yes.
At the heart of all of that is this warmth that she just exudes. And it's kind of funny because, you know, she really has a great sense of humor. And you know, after reading her book, you read some of the things that she's been through, and you really see her in this way, and you go, wow, you know, it really is inspiring, her book. And I have to reiterate what Pam just said, and that is, if you've not bought it, you know, or if you are a Kindle reader, download it to your Kindle. You know, you can get it off Amazon.com. And, you know, or most any place, but it's a great read, and you get to know Jean Cooper in a way that, you know, you never would if you didn't read the book. It is just, she's just an amazing human being, and she's one of those people that you meet once in a lifetime that you just sit there and you just know there's just something different about her. And, you know, there are certain people that you meet in life that are just exceptional. They just stand out. And I'm like you. I'm usually not at a loss for words, but it's that was
no, definitely not
amazing,
you.
That is definitely amazing. Yeah, really. But you know, this has been a very, very amazing interview. I mean, she's just so inspiring, and everything she says.
She touched my heart.
And, yeah,
she touched my heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, she. I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, I guess it's between reading the book, you know, watching her on TV, and now speaking with her, and, of course, listening to a few other interviews. She's a true, kind, warm person, and nothing is fake there, you know, especially when she put everything of her life, good and bad, in her book. That's an honest person.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she really put it out there. And, you know, and I think it was good that we asked her, you know, was there anything you would have preferred to leave out what she read it? And, you know, and she said she had no regrets. And that is a person that speaks from a life well lived. She's well traveled, but she's lived a life. She's never let life get the best of her. She's gotten the best of life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when you have someone like that, it truly does. It does inspire you. You can't help but be inspired. I mean, I could sit and talk to her for hours.
Oh, my gosh. You and me both.
I mean, you know, maybe we'll get that lunch date one day with her. Who knows? But
well, you know what? Trisha Cast, you know, she stays with Jean every time she goes out there to L.A. When she's appearing on The Young and the Restless. Can you imagine all the stories that Trisha has heard?
Mm-mm-mm.
And not only that, Jean's a hoot. I mean, you have to be laughing from the time you get up to the time you go to bed with her.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, but it was a great time. And I look forward to her, you know, coming back at some point. She's one of those people you just wouldn't even have to have questions. You just open up the forum and you just let her talk, you know. And
That's it.
Just a great, great guest. But she's a great person. And I'm going to be on this high for a little while. I mean, you know, it's beyond the whole starstruck thing. I think I'm just, like you said, my heart is so touched right now by her as a person. So pick up the book, Not Young, Still Restless, and you will be in for a real treat. You will see Jean Cooper in a way you never have. But it's funny because as she was talking, you know, especially when she said what she did about Jess Walton, I was cracking up on the inside because I was thinking to myself, you know, that is so Miss Chancellor channeling through, you know.
Right.
you know, the classic line, well, I taught her everything I know. She knows,
right.
Kind of thing, you know. That was classic. I just love that. So that's my favorite line of the whole interview. I taught her everything she knows.
You know. As I told you and you brought up, you know, as you're reading the book, I clearly, it's almost like having a conversation with her, and she's telling you these stories instead of you reading about it, because you can hear her voice.
Yeah,
and of course,
exactly.
It helps, you know, that we know what her voice sounds like versus picking up a book by another author that, well, like Nicholas Sparks, okay, I've never heard his voice in real life.
Yeah.
You know, so you only, you read the book and you imagine the characters and you imagine what they would sound like as they're talking. But in Jean's book, and of course it's about herself, you hear her telling you that story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and
agreed.
That's amazing. That's
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Yeah. Well, shall we tell everyone who's home tomorrow?
I think so, if we can think straight right now, right?
I know, really? Well, we have tomorrow evening at 7, no, wait a minute, I'm about to be messed up on my
9
time.
P.m. Eastern, this one I knew.
Eastern tomorrow, okay, yay, I'm glad. Anyway, we have Wally who, from All My Children, and so we are just ecstatic to be having him coming to sit down and talk with us about what he's been up to of late. And he is really an interesting individual. He's done a little bit of everything, too. I mean, he's an actor. He's an entertainer. He's a comedian, a cartoonist, which I didn't realize that. And he's a philanthropist on top of it all. And so it's going to be really interesting. I imagine that's going to be quite entertaining because him being a comedian, I just can't see us being all serious throughout the interview. What do you think?
Well, let me tell you, I highly doubt that's going to happen because I went to a play in
mm-hmm.
this year, and it was with Walt, and it's actually one of his plays, Harvey, and
mm-hmm.
Vincent Irizarry was in it as well. And when me and Shannon and her mom pulled up to the place where this play was going to be, we weren't quite
mm-hmm.
sure what door to go into, and we got there kind of early because, of course, it was general admission, so you want to get good seats, and
mm-hmm.
We got out of the car and we start walking towards the door, and both Shannon and I, and I think her mom too, said there was two guys standing by the door, and
mm-hmm.
we looked and we go, is that Walt? Well, sure enough, it was, and he was funny from the time we walked up to him and said, is this the door that we used to go see the play? He's like, what play? You know, and we can't wait to see Vincent. Does he play the rabbit or something? He's like, Vincent who? Harvey what? You know, I mean, he just joked the whole time while walking us
mm-hmm.
to the elevator or the stairs or whatever it was to take us to the theater part of it. So
yeah.
I think we're going to have a blast with him tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. So it'll be a great show, another great show, Pam.
Yes.
So, yeah, we've got a great week, and we got some wonderful things in store as the week unfolds. And so, but, yes, by all means, please stay follow us on Twitter at Take2Radio. That's the number 2. Or you can follow me as well, Dawn, Take2Radio. You can also check out our website, take2radio.com.
For upcoming guests, previous podcasts, videos, anything.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff on there. Dawn worked hard to get that site together, and she does a great job. There's also a contact us form there, and if you want to, you know, send us a message and say, well, you know, can you get so-and-so on the show, and we'll be happy to try and do it for you. You know, we do the show for many reasons. We enjoy interviewing people that we love and that others love. So we want to keep doing that and hope that you'll join us for each show.
Most definitely. And as always, thank you for being here with us and,
yeah.
and joining us today for our interview with Jean Cooper. And if you're a first-time listener, thank you. We welcome you, and we hope that you'll be back. So
yeah, if
you
could follow us on Blog Talk, too. That way Blog Talk will send you an email every time, you know, we have a new guest, and you'll know
mm-hmm.
ahead of time. So in case you want to join us for a certain show, you know, you'll have the email and the link and everything. You're all set to go.
There you go. Oh, well, Pam, it's been a great time today. What do you think?
I think so, too. I mean, it's just totally, it's a dream come true. It's a dream
yeah,
come
for
true.
Sure.
And I'm very happy and very blessed to have this in my life and have you in my life and all of our listeners. Today I'd like to do something a little different. Instead of going out on the show with my intro music, I would instead like to play a song by a UK band called Last Breath. They have made a new holiday song called Jingle All the Way. And if you download it from their website, it's www.lastbreathrock.weebly.com. It's £2 in UK money, and it's a little over $3 in American money. All the money that they get from the downloads of the song goes to a hospice in England, and it's called Bryan House. And it's for young kids and young adults that unfortunately are just there to bide their time until they pass. But it also has lets their families stay, and it's on the same wavelength as our Ronald McDonald House. So if you would please just listen to the song, and if you enjoy it, if you want to download it for yourself, please go to that website and do it, and all that money will go to the kids and their families to help hopefully make their Christmas a little nicer for them this year. If you don't want it for yourself, if you know somebody that enjoys Christmas music, then go ahead and download it and give it to them as a gift. It'll make a great Christmas gift for them, too.
One thing I wanted to add, this has also been linked through our website as well.
Yes.
And if you're on our website perusing around, you can hover over the home tab and there'll be a drop-down menu. Just click on announcements. It'll take you right to the page and it's linked to where you can donate. So, you know, if that's a little bit easier, if you're actually on our
yes.
site, feel free to check it out there. But at either place, you can, you're able to purchase it and be able to get the song. So.
You can also, there's also the video is on there, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
uh-huh.
The video is on there of this song, and it has the lyrics, and it's a pretty cute video, so, you know, take a minute and watch that, too. But please go ahead and download it, and let's help the kids. It's the time of year to be giving instead of receiving, and, you know, let's make somebody else's life a little bit happier for the little bit of time they have left on Earth. So with that, I'm going to say thank you all again for joining us. God bless, and we'll see you again tomorrow. And here is Last Breath with Jingle All the Way.